state parks, forests, trails, recreation areas. There are at least 100 in Wisconsin, depending on how you count them. And that means there are hidden gems that we simply don't know about that are waiting to be discovered. We're exploring the Wisconsin State Park System on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The DNR says they have more than 20 million visits a year. So how do you decide where to camp, where to hike, canoe? What do you want to know about state parks, passes, accessibility? Bring on the questions, 800-642-1234. Missy Van Landit is Recreation Partnerships Section Chief for the Department of Natural Resources, the DNR. Missy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's start with your newest addition, Lizard Mound Park, about 45 minutes or so northwest of Milwaukee. Tell us about the plans for this park and bringing it back in the fold.
Yeah, you know, it's been, you know, in kind of a public realm for about 72 years. So we're happy to take it back from Washington County. And, you know, we're just going to go back in and do a little sprucing up, whatever needs to be done. And we're excited that it's open to the public now as of May 1st. So it's a really neat property. It's got 28 really clearly defined effigy mounds. And those are nicely interpreted. The, you know, Washington County and the volunteers there have done a really great job caring for that property. But you know, it makes for a nice round number. We did have 49 parks technically. And even though Lizard Mound, it will actually have to go through a master planning process to determine its official designation as a state park, but it does kind of bring it to from 49 to 50. So, you know, I'm hoping that it gets that designation, but we'll go through the formal process to determine it. But 50 sounds nice for state parks.
I'm concerned about the volume of people coming to state parks and the potential for mounds to be disturbed. How do you keep people away from the mounds?
You know, we try to do a really good job of, you know, making sure that they're defined and identified. And so, you know, prior to state parks existing, there we have several properties with effigy mounds, including Wyalusing and Aztalan. And before they were really more publicly protected, those mounds weren't protected either. And so farming activities and things like that did degrade them. But now, you know, now they're part of that natural resource and part of our celebrated culture. And so in most of our properties, if not all, where we do have mounds, we have special designated maintenance activities that we do, that we work through for the effigy mounds, but we also work to identify and interpret them as well.
Okay. So, you know, certainly marking off for people coming to the state park that here is a mound and, you know, just making sure that people are aware of what that formation is.
Exactly. Yep.
How often do you add a new state park property to the to the portfolio, if you will, to the to the state portfolio?
It's not, yeah, it's not that often. You know, what's interesting with Lizard Mound is Lizard Mound was first designated a state park in 1950, and then that ownership was transferred to Washington County. So this one was in our portfolio at one point, but I would say the last state park that we added was probably Straight Lake State Park in far northwest Wisconsin, in Polk County, like Luck area. And so we don't often add entirely new state parks. We do work through our acquisition process for real estate, though, and we do continue to purchase additional land that's as part of other properties, but it's not often that we add new parks to our portfolio.
Talking with Missy Van Landit, Recreation Partnerships Section Chief for the DNR, fielding your questions about the state parks. She's been to them, been to them all. 800-642-1234 to join in. Let's drop in at Pottawatomie State Park. Now, that is very near Sturgeon Bay, and you're working with some other groups to move the end of the Ice Age Trail, the Eastern Trailhead. What's going on there?
Yeah, we actually, so there was a marker kind of down by the existing tower and toilet area there that wasn't as scenic. And actually the designated Eastern Terminus was never that location. And we don't even know how it ended up kind of being that landmark. Hmm. And so working with the National Park Service and the Ice Age Trail Alliance, we determined about a year ago that we really wanted to get it back to its existing and designated location, which is just, you know, maybe a little less than a quarter mile kind of up the road from there at the old ski hill overlook, which not only just is at its rightful location, but it also provides a great scenic spot for the terminus of the trail. And, you know, the Ice Age Trail has seen really significant increases in visitation too, and more through hikers. And so we want people to be able to celebrate their achievements of hiking the trail, whether it's a segment or the entire thing. And so we wanted the Eastern Terminus to be just as beautiful and have just as great of overlooks as the Western Terminus at Interstate State Park.
What's interesting when I looked at Potawatomi is that you can get a little hint, a little taste of hiking the Ice Age Trail, because the park contains like this 3-mile segment that is kind of self-contained right there in the park. You know, is that unique?
You know, we actually, the department owns most of the off-road Ice Age Trail in the state. Oh. And so the most percentage, and actually the northern unit of the Kettle Moraine and southern unit of the Kettle Moraine both hold more than 30 miles within their property border themselves. So it's unique to that part of the state up in Door County, but it's not necessarily unique to many of our state properties where the Ice Age Trail falls. There is quite a few miles in between.
Looking at the 90-year-old observation tower at Potawatomi, there were efforts in the budget, in the state budget, to restore it. The tower closed in 2018. What have been the delays in repairing the tower?
You know, not necessarily delays. We've been working with a lot of different partner groups and working with legislators in order to kind of identify what the path forward looks like. And, you know, accessibility is incredibly important to the department and incredibly important to the governor. And so he just announced last week, I think it was, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that we're going to be moving forward with hiring a consultant and looking at two different construction options, one that would fully restore the historically designated tower with full physical accessibility. And the other one would look at a deconstruction and then a reconstruction of the tower with physical accessibility, similar to Eagle Tower at Peninsula. So the nice thing is we're moving forward. This is not a study. This is actually moving forward with design plans, which is great. So I think, you know, what we've learned is that, you know, the administration is definitely pro having a tower at the property, but also making it accessible to anyone, regardless of their ability, which is great too.
Any timeline there? If you have design plans coming together, is there any idea when the tower could reopen?
You know, there's a few milestones to get through. So we're going to get through the preliminary design, and then that will also include a budget. And so the governor committed to putting a budget item in for the 23-25 budget for the tower. So if we can pass that milestone, you know, we could be looking at as soon as maybe 2 to 3 years before we have a tower there.
Well, let's bring on a call now. Jerry is with us from Amherst. Jerry, hi. You have something to say about Hartman Creek State Park.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to comment on what an amazing resource we have in our state parks. My local park, which is Hartman Creek, I'm there at least once a week throughout the year, whether it's running on the trails or walking the dog or biking or cross-country skiing. It's, you know, the DNR does just such a great job, and we use some of the other properties. And I just think people need to know what they have and support that. Toward that end, I do have a question about, you know, how they have the annual window sticker that, you know, shows that you've paid your annual renewal. I wonder if there would be some option to have a Wisconsin State Park license plate, like similar to how we have endangered resources license plates and all those other things, so that when we renew our license plate, it is that money, you know, extra money would go to the state park, and that would evidence of our renewal, so we didn't have to have a window sticker. I suspect that that's already been considered, but who knows?
Jerry, thank you for that. Missy, go ahead.
Yeah, well, first, thanks, Jerry. I love Hartman Creek, too. There's a lot of neat things there to do, including equestrian trails, if you guys didn't know that. Yeah, as far as like looking at a license plate option, we are always looking at different options, not only one to make it easier for our visitors to purchase passes and enjoy our state parks, but always looking for opportunities for additional revenue too, you know, because the state park system is fully self-funded. So the only funding that we have is the admission passes and trail passes that our visitors purchase and our camping revenue. So we've always kind of looked into different options like that. Sometimes there's more hurdles that present themselves depending on the year and things like that, but those things are always explored and kind of always on the table, so to speak. So it's definitely within our purview and an option that we're always looking at.
Talking about outdoor offerings with the DNR's Recreation Partnerships Section Chief, Missy Van Landit is here helping us out. Join in on planning a state park visit this summer, what you're watching for, what you wonder about. Maybe there's a state park that is really close to you and you really use. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're learning about what Wisconsin State Parks, trails, recreation areas have to offer and tips for summer visits and getting out into nature on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin State Park System, join in on your favorite escape in our state parks, what you wonder about, where you plan to go this summer, 800-642-1234. The DNR's Missy Van Landit, Recreation Partnerships Section Chief, with us for the hour. Let's go to Rashid now in Madison. Hi, Rashid.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to say about the state parks?
Well, I moved from Illinois into Wisconsin 4 years ago, and I was surprised to see that there's so much to do here in Wisconsin, which as Illinoisan, I was not aware of it. And what I decided, I actually created like a list of all the state parks in my Maps app and the things that I can do around them. And it's like I have like 72 activities that I want to do in the list of it. And what I want to do is I want to like documented, and I created an Instagram account that just dedicated to this. So this way I can tell more people about it, that, you know, what, how much Wisconsin and all these state parks that they offer. So the others, I mean, I lived in Illinois for 30 plus years and I did not know too much about it, you know. So I think this is, I will try to promote these state parks so the other people can come and enjoy as well.
Rashid, have you been to one recently that you really appreciated? Is there one that you've gone to?
Well, my family favorite is Devil's Lake, and it's one of the most famous ones, you know.
Yes.
We go often. The hikes are amazing. It's amazing to see that such great hikes are available so close to home. It's like 30 minutes away from Madison. And another one that I like, it's one of the darkest places in Wisconsin. So if somebody likes to see the sky, it's the best place to go for that. And I'm trying to think of the name. It's pretty far from 3-4 hours away.
Missy, help us out.
Newport State Park up in Door County.
Okay, Newport is definitely one of them. I did hear the name, but this was the other one. Anyways, it's like Ontario, Wisconsin. It's around that area, if I think of it, you know. But yeah, it's one of that was like. For me, I never thought that I could see a sky like that. Not even any camera can capture when you start seeing these satellites moving on the sky. You know, that's we did not even think that it's a satellite until we thought it's not a plane, you know. And then we Googled it and we found out it's a satellite that you can see with bare eyes. So,
oh, Rashid, yeah. So glad you called in. Missy, how about this state park bucket list he's got going on?
That's incredible. You know, it's becoming more and more popular. You know, like you said before, our visitation was up 10% over last year, and it's up almost 30% over pre-pandemic years, which is just incredible. And yeah, people are getting out and they're exploring and doing all kinds of new activities. It's really neat. You know, what Rashid was talking about, which I think is kind of a fun place. You know, we always think, let's go during the day and let's hike. But state parks are a great place to check out at night. And they're open technically till 11, unless you're camping. But there are two kind of dark sky properties within the state that are designated. And that is Newport State Park up in Door County and then Wildcat Mountain in the western part of the state. And maybe that's what he was referring to as well. So really great properties to check out at night with gorgeous night sky views.
Rashid, was it Wildcat?
It was Wildcat, exactly. Yes.
Sounds like this is Jeopardy. You have to answer in the form of a question. What is Wildcat?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Oh, well, Rashid, thanks for calling in. Keep on documenting and really appreciate it. Now, Maddie is with us in Milwaukee. Maddie, hi.
Hi, good morning. How are you both?
Good. Which one would you like to bring up?
I had a question for Missy. So I grew up in Wisconsin, explored the parks with my parents, and now I'm finally starting to explore the parks on my own with friends. And I wondered what her personal opinion was for the most underrated state park in Wisconsin. What's one I need to check out?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, there are things that I love about every property. So I'm not sure maybe what would be an underrated park. I think a lot of people skip over Wyalusing for some reason in Far Southwest, and that's in Grant County. I love Wyalusing for a ton of reasons. So I camped there last Memorial Day and just fell more and more in love with it. There are a few waterfalls there as well, really great trails, and you're at the confluence of the Wisconsin and Mississippi rivers. So I would definitely check that one out. And, you know, a little hidden note, if you can get a campsite on the ridge, you can actually view the river from your campsite at night. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I would also say, going to Pattison State Park in the far Northwest up in Douglas County, but go there in the spring when the snow is all melting, like in that April, May timeframe, because everyone goes in the fall, but going in the spring is really great. So you can find something special at every park, a little hidden gem of its own at every property.
What, it's funny you say waterfall, because I'm trying to plan our family to experience a waterfall this summer, and, you know, looked at Pattison a little bit, looked at Willow River State Park. What mm-hmm. suggestions do you have for seeing waterfalls and just kind of having that experience?
You know, there's a lot of waterfalls in the state. I'm actually put together a new kind of list for, you know, state-owned waterfall areas, and there's a lot. I would say that checking out Pattison and Amnicon is great. You know, waterfalls are good any time of the year. I mean, that's one of our favorite things to view. So no matter what time of the year you go, it's a wonderful time to check out waterfalls. They're great. Willow River is fantastic. Copper Falls is another great one. So just south of Ashland and Mellon, Wisconsin, north central. If you're really up for a trip, Kate, you can probably hit all of those in one trip if you really wanted to.
That would require lots of snacks,
Exactly. There's a lot of, which I think people underestimate too, there is a lot of wild rivers in Wisconsin that are very rustic, but they have viewpoints that you can check out if you want to see them from the road or a pull off, but you can also canoe or kayak them. And there's little waterfalls and sometimes many waterfalls, like the Pine Popple Wild Rivers, those two wild rivers, they have a number of waterfalls. I want to say they have maybe 7 or 8 waterfalls just Ooh. In those two wild rivers. So those are really great in the Pike Wild River as well. And then for southern Wisconsin, Parfrees Glen or Governor Dodge are really great places for small waterfalls in southern Wisconsin.
Maddie, does that help?
Absolutely. Yeah. Governor Dodge is one of my favorites, going back to visit it this summer for a short camping trip. But yeah, I'm excited to check out Wyalusing.
Awesome. Do you camp much, Maddie, or are you getting into camping?
I've camped since before I could walk, probably with my parents, but have been spending the last couple of years collecting my own camping gear and have started exploring with friends and more peers my age rather than going out with mom and dad. Sorry, mom and dad.
Oh, Maddie, thank you. Missy, any tips for those campers out there in getting a site?
Well, right now we do have a lot during the weekday. So, you know, and many of our properties have decent cell service and some have concessionaires or shelter buildings with Wi-Fi. So if you're doing, you know, remote school or remote work, it's a great place to go check out during the week. And there's, you know, unique outdoor places to do your schoolwork or to, you know, take meetings. So I would say, you know, try to get places during the week. There's also opportunities on the weekends for cancellation. So if you know you just want to camp, but you don't care where, I would definitely start checking for cancellations like Wednesday and Thursday, because you can probably get really cool sites for the weekends. There's also a few private like Facebook and Instagram sites where people will post if they're canceling a campsite. So you can watch those as well and then jump online to do the reservations. But I would say, you know, mostly this time of year, if you need an electric site or if you're looking at those popular properties like Governor Dodge or Devil's Lake, Peninsula, Willow River, it's really up to cancellations on those electrical sites for weekends for the summer.
I'm just thinking WFH, work from home is now might be called work from park, WFP. I think we could change a letter. That might work out well. The DNR's Missy Van Landit visited all the state parks as Recreation Partnership Section Chief. Join in on the most amazing views on your hikes or the most memorable state park camping trips. How your plans are coming together for this summer's adventures. 800-642-1234 to join in on state parks. We'll be back with the DNR's Missy Van Landit after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're appreciating all that the state parks and trails have to offer on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Heard from Dave in Chippewa Falls, said don't forget about camping in county forests, which are self-contained and can be quite quiet and inexpensive, Dave says. Just may not have the same state resources. Join in with your questions on camping, accessibility, kid-friendly ideas, 800-642-1234. The DNR's Missy Van Landit, Recreation Partnerships Chief, with us for the hour. Let's bring in Rita now in La Crosse. Hi, Rita.
Hi. I love all our state parks. I love Wisconsin. But we find it very difficult to get any first-come, first-served sites anymore like we used to be. When the children were younger, we could just hook the camper up, head to a state park and get a campsite, or call and say how many first come first serve are available, and they would tell you how many before we headed out. And sometimes it was like a chance to get it, but I find that the parks don't have those facilities anymore for people from Wisconsin that just want to take off and have a site. So I sure would like there to be more first come first serve for people like us.
Rita, thank you for that. Missy, any advice there?
Yeah, you know, a couple of years ago, we moved to 100% reservable. So all the sites that used to be first come, first serve are now reservable online. The good part of that is that you can actually do same day reservations. So you still can check and see what's available out there, and then you can book it and get on the road. So I think, you know, we have definitely people in both camps, and Rita's camp for sure, that want to just be able to show up and roll the dice and see what's there. But there's other folks that still want to do that last minute camping, but at least then they can book the site that morning and then head out knowing that they've got a spot. So for some of us that are planners, that works really well. But for others that want the sense of adventure, she's right. We did move to all reservable, but you still can reserve same day.
If you would want to make a phone call to that state park, and could you still do that to check availability?
Yep, you can check online, or you can call the park and they can check online for you and help assist with that reservation for the day for sure.
Okay, Rita, thank you for the call. Lisa now in Lake Geneva. Another question on campsites. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning. I'm wondering what the most efficient way is to find a cancellation. My husband and I like to go to Door County, and I'm guessing the Peninsula Bay State Park is pretty booked. It doesn't necessarily have to be the weekend, but do we just have to go to the website and check day after day for cancellations? Is there a one?
Yes. Lisa, you're breaking up a little bit, but is there a central location to check for campsite cancellations and do that centrally in a more efficient way, especially in the Door County area, Lisa, able to go on weekdays?
Yep. So going onto the CAMAS webpage is probably the best way. They do happen in real time. So if someone cancels, you know, at 9 o'clock this morning, they'll be back online within just a couple of minutes and available. So that's the good news there. I would say, so just checking daily, more and more people, I think cancel in the evenings. So they're, you know, maybe talking with their families about their weekend plans and something comes up. So I would say if you check more in the evenings and maybe even first thing in the morning, that's when you're most likely to maybe catch those. It definitely can feel like it's winning a radio contest, like it was back in the day. But actually a friend of mine just texted me yesterday and said, hey, I'm canceling my Peninsula site for May. So if you go on there today, Lisa, you might be able to find something for Peninsula in a couple of weeks.
Lisa, thank you so much for the call. So there's some news this weekend, Saturday, the Elroy Sparta State Trail set to reopen. What can you tell us there about the bike trail?
You know, it's in 2018, if folks remember, we had really significant flooding in the western part of the state and then in the southern part in Dane County. And so there was an incredible amount of damage done to over half of that trail with significant mudslides, washing out of bridges and culverts. And so it has taken us about 4 years to get that trail back up and open. It was technically open in the fall, but the tunnels closed around that time. So the trail will be fully open for the first time in 4 years this spring, which is really great. The tunnels just opened last weekend for the season. So the event on Saturday is just to celebrate that, to bring hopefully some tourism back to those communities and to showcase that our first rail trail, the Elroy Sparta State Trail, is back open for business. And you can connect all of the communities along the trail again, go through those three great tunnels and see two very large bridges that we replaced, a number of culverts. And if you were familiar with the trail, you'll see that we actually stabilized a number of very large landslides as well.
Mm. Can you help us understand, if we haven't been through one of these tunnels, what that experience is like?
Well, you know, my first time going through one of those tunnels, I was really freaked out. I thought maybe someone would jump out at me or there'd be critters or things like that. And it's not the case at all. My 5 and 7 year old at the time had to lead the way, but it's a really fun experience. There are tunnels that are long enough where you cannot see the other end. So the first thing to know is to walk your bikes for sure for safety and to bring some kind of headlamp or flashlight. And even the flashlight on your phone is fine. And then you walk through the tunnels and, you know, some of them are as short as maybe a quarter mile, some as long as a mile. And it's just kind of taking it all in. You get to really see the interior makeup of the tunnels. They do drip water. So like even today, with it being so hot and humid around the state, today would be a great day to feel the cool and dampness of the tunnels. But it's just, it's a really fun experience to just take advantage of and take your time going through. It's dark, it's cold, and it's wet. But during the summer, it's very welcomed.
And it's a loop, right? So you go in a circle.
The linear trails are long. So you can, what I do with, especially with my kids, if we just want to experience maybe one tunnel, I'll bring our bike locks and just lock our bikes on one end and then walk through and experience a tunnel and walk right back.
I see.
Otherwise there is enough room. It's wide enough for you to walk your bikes through the tunnel and then carry on your way down the trail.
Okay. So how resistant will all of these renovations and updates you made to the trail due to the flooding, how resistant are they to future flooding?
That's a great question. You know, we work with the engineers at the Department of Administration and also on the federal level. This is a FEMA project. So the Federal Emergency Management Association. So we work with them to really figure out what the flood was, what year flood, was it a 500 year event or a 1,000 year event? And we figure out why the infrastructure didn't work and what it's going to take to meet, you know, climate change and things like that for future storms. So we have increased the ability for water to flow. So the culverts are larger, there's more space under the bridges. We've moved the trail so that it's a little bit further away from the water and the rivers and creeks that run through. So we definitely pay very close attention to constructing something that, you know, we hope is not going to be damaged in the future. And we try to safeguard against that.
Do the issues you see at this trail, are you seeing climate change affecting other parks in the system?
You know, absolutely. We see FEMA-related events nearly every year. Mm. You know, even yesterday, there was a really significant storm that went through Polk County and was very damaging to Interstate State Park and the Gandy Dancer State Trail. And so we're seeing these more significant storm events and flood events nearly every year. Last year in 21 was one of the only years in recent that we have not had a federal disaster declaration on one of our properties. So it is definitely, we're seeing it a lot more and we're seeing it a lot of times on linear trails, primarily because the trails act like a chute for the water. And so it really has an opportunity to pick up a lot of debris and go a long distance. So we see a lot of the damage happening on our trails.
Talking with Missy Van Landit, Recreation Partnerships Section Chief for the DNR, fielding your questions about state parks, what you have in store this summer, and any tips and advice, 800-642-1234. So, Missy, you know, you've seen so much traffic at the parks. What is it like for upkeep? Do you have enough people in order to keep the parks open?
You know, we do have enough people to keep them open. We are, just like everyone else out there, always looking to hire great people. So if you are still looking for that seasonal summer job, we are certainly always hiring. So you can check our webpage for that. We do have enough. You may see where maybe vault toilets are cleaned, you know, maybe three or four times a week instead of more often. You may see some more limited office hours. We're trying to make sure that we provide, you know, safe opportunities for our visitors, and we have the least amount of service impact as possible, even if we do have shortened staff at some of our properties. So the parks are all still open, generally 6 to 11, and you really won't see any service interruptions there, but you just might see, like I said, fewer office hours in some locations. And you may have a little bit harder time maybe finding someone because they're running around making sure things are clean and safe.
Let's go to Tom now in Green Bay. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. I have electric sites reserved for the state parks this summer. And we have, I believe, around 30 nights reserved. And often we see campsites vacant on all three sides of us when, of course, the sites are all reserved and everything's paid for, but a lot of no-shows. It seems, and actually I have like four other points I'd like to bring up because we're, you know, we've seen a lot of stuff. And it seems that if the people don't show up, it seems like other people that are just desperate to have sites should somehow be able to use them. I think if you followed what they use that works at other state parks, other states, they might have a solution for that.
Well, let's kick this over to Missy on no-shows. What can you tell us there?
You know, we typically try to enforce the no-shows as best we can. If we definitely see that there's evidence of no-shows, people have reserved and paid. So, you know, as things start to open up and get busier, you may see that where people didn't do their cancellation, even if they couldn't come, like another event or something comes up. But we do try our best to try to enforce that. So if people don't show up, we can go into our system and override that and reopen the site. And we try to do that as much as we possibly can. There are times when we can't always tell if someone was there or not there. And a lot of folks, again, like with the pandemic, you know, hopefully on its way out, more and more people are booking their sites because they want to have them, but they might have, you know, a kids sporting event or a concert or something like that come up. And so they come for a partial stay. So it's a little bit of a fine line. I completely hear what you're saying, Tom. And, you know, we try to work so that as many people as possible can actually be out and in our state parks. So we do try to combat the no call or the no shows as much as we can.
Okay, Tom. So no shows, a work in progress. What else is on your mind?
When I make a campsite reservation, I make it 11 months and ahead of time. And if I make it 11 months and 2 seconds later, there's no sites available. I have the computer set up and I have my cell phone set up both on the website. And then at exactly the right time, I think it's 9 a.m. I click both of them. And sometimes at exactly, you know, the clock shows up on the, on your campsite website camping website. And a lot of times I don't get it, but in that first second. So it's very difficult. Obviously, there's not enough campsites around. And it seems that a lot of people are buying the campers and they can't use them. And that's kind of a harsh reality for a lot of people that spend a lot of money thinking that they're going to use them. I have actually a few other.
Well, Tom, are you calling from a campsite? Because I hear birds in the background.
No, we're
no. Okay.
We live on the Fox River. So okay. There's a lot of wildlife here.
Okay. But, well, hang on here. That window of opportunity to get campsites, Missy, and you know, Tom really gauging it here, knowing exactly to the second when he's able to do it.
Yep. You know, there are certain sites for sure, whether it's a water site or some, you know, an electrical site for 4th of July weekend, things like that, that he's right. You know, those are hard to come by, and it's a competitive process to try to reserve those 11 months in advance. But, you know, I can even say that we still have about 25% of our campsites available for this summer. So, you know, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, 25% of our total inventory is still available. So I think if you are looking for, you know, holiday weekends or electrical sites during the weekend, during the summer at some of our most popular properties, like I said before, maybe Devil's Lake or Peninsula, Kohler Andre or Willow River, those are a little bit harder to come by for sure. And especially some of those more scenic sites, but there are still a lot of sites out there. Again, depending on what your needs are and how picky you are about a site, there are definitely campsites that are out there. Even today, you can definitely find campsites for this summer.
The DNR is Missy Van Landit telling us about state parks, trails to visit in all corners of the state, giving us tips. Join in on your favorite park to visit, to recharge in the summer. Maybe it's a hidden gem. Maybe you have a strategy to get that favorite campsite. Give a shout out, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Missy Van Landit here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're appreciating the Wisconsin State Park System offering so many different types of experiences in nature. Sandra from Milwaukee called in and wanted to thank Rashid for valuing parks to view the night sky. And Sandra remembers coming to Wisconsin from Chicago to enjoy our great state parks and the opportunities to get kids outside and off screens. Sandra, thanks for joining in. Still time to talk through your plans, options, what you're thinking, 800-642-1234. We have the DNR's Missy Van Landit for another 7 or so minutes. Let's go to Ryan now in La Crosse. Hi, Ryan. What park do you want to bring up?
I'm hesitant to bring it up because I want to keep it secret, but Perot Park over in Trempealeau, north of where I live in La Crosse, is just an amazing place. My kids and family love going there for the hiking and the kayak trails, and the spaces are so large and so beautiful. Just wanted to put my plug in for that.
Oh, awesome. Ryan, thank you. Missy, what about the description there of Perot?
He did a great job. I love Perot State Park. You know, it's, you can really get beautiful scenic views, like he was talking about, up the Brady's Bluff Trail of the Trempealeau and Mississippi Rivers, which is awesome. But then you can actually kayak the backwaters. So you can get up close and personal with that property. I would actually highly recommend it. And maybe he's done this before. March is a great time to visit Perot because the Mississippi River acts as a highway for migratory birds. So it's a great place if you're itching for spring and you want to get out and do some hiking. Highly recommend Perot in March.
What about renting canoes, renting kayaks? What would you suggest there?
You can actually rent those from the park, but if you go onto the DNR webpage, dnr.wi.gov, there is a Find a Park tab on there, and you can search by type of rental. So we have rentals at various parks across the state where you can rent bikes at some, canoes, kayaks, stand-up paddleboards, even pontoons. You can check out fishing gear. So there's a lot of different rental opportunities across the state, and you can find that info on our webpage.
And it was so cool because you can just really hone in on what you're looking for. I was like, wow, stand-up paddleboards. I'll check that box. That sounds good. And what about bikes? If you can't get all the bikes, you know, in the car. And so that to me was really great to narrow down the options.
There's a ton out there. You know, one of the things I love, my kids actually first got into a kid-sized kayak at Mirror Lake State Park. Hmm. So if you want to get kids, I think my kids were 3 and 5. They were tethered to our kayaks. But they rent kid-sized kayaks there and pontoons as well. So it's a great, you know, if you want to explore outdoor recreation, that's our Out We Go branding. We want people to get outdoors and explore nature. We have our free fun weekend coming up the weekend of June 4th and 5th. And it's a great way to come out and explore nature, explore outdoor recreation, check out those rentals. And then maybe that inspires you to come back, or maybe that inspires you to go get a bike or a kayak, or even just to come back and rent again.
Let's bring in Greg now in Madison. Greg, hi.
Hi there.
What park would you like to bring up?
Straight Lake State Park in northwest Wisconsin.
That's in Barron County?
Yeah, is that new?
That is one of our newest, yeah. That is one of our newest parks. It's been developed now for a few years. I want to say the park itself is maybe 10 years old. It's a great park. It's got a couple of different lakes and 10 hiking campsites. It's a wonderful little gem of a property. People will say it has the most beautiful segment of the Ice Age Trail going through Straight Lake State Park.
Greg, have you That's checked wonderful. It out?
I'm going to check it out today.
Awesome. That is
good luck.
Yeah, I'm from there, and I'm going to see my mom, and she loves to walk. So we're going to go check out the new park.
That is so awesome. Greg, thank you so much for calling in. Missy, you also wanted to bring up Northern Highland American Legion State Forest, and that's in the Northwoods, straight north of Rhinelander. What do you love about it?
Oh, there's so much to love about the Northern Highlands. You know, that is one of our most complete recreation properties. It is a forest. It has a forest designation over a park, but it has over 200,000 acres there and over 900 lakes. So it is quite a property. I love it because it has the Heart of Vilas bike trail, which is a 52-mile paved trail that connects a ton of communities up there, and it follows the topography of the forest. They also have, you know, camping and all kinds of fun summer activities, but it's great for winter for ice fishing, snowmobiling, snowshoeing, skiing as well. And it has groomed fat bike trails in the winter as well. Mm. But in the summer, it's got tons of beaches. And a couple of my little hidden gems there is to check out Star Lake and the trails there, and White Sand Lake Beach and Trout Lake. So there are tons and tons, miles and miles of trails up there, but it feels like a hidden gem when you're there because it's so remote.
That was so interesting. I noticed it has 12 different trail options, some really short to ones that seem a lot longer for hiking, you know, from a nature trail that's a half mile to the lumberjack trail that's 12 and a half miles. So you get a really great range.
And you can see a lot of the forest that way. You know, that's what I love about not only the Northern Highland American Legion State Forest, but a lot of our properties. You know, as many people say, where can I go with my kids? They're little, or I have my toddler in a backpack, you know, carrier, where can I go? That's what I love about all of our properties, including the Highlands, is that you can find something that's right for you, regardless of your ability or your circumstances. You can find short, really easy trails. You can make something an entire day and hike 12 to 20 miles if you want. So there's something to do for everyone at all of our properties.
Oh, Missy, thank you for joining us. Happy trails.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Missy Van Landit is Recreation Partnerships Section Chief for the Department of Natural Resources. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.